My name is Tanner Harrington. I'm 16 years old. I go to Modern Day High School and I'm a sophomore. Today is December 2nd, 2018, and I'm speaking with Pam Cromer, who is my grandmother. We are recording this interview in the city of Newport Beach, California. Pam.
My turn. My name is Pam Cromer. And I was actually born in Ohio, and then I grew up in Muskegon, Michigan. I live in California now, and I am 77 years old, and I have 3 adult children and 5 grandchildren. So I think I'm the luckiest woman in the world.
All right, let's get started. Tell me about a teacher or other adult that has a big impact on your life while you were growing up.
You know, I think a lot about who helped me to be who I am today. And I learned a lot of things from my mother and father about values, about being honest, and I learned a lot from them. But I really feel that there were 3 women in my adult life who guided me to be the woman that I am today. And it's really very interesting because one of them was my husband's stepmother. One of them was my husband's aunt. And of course, the other one was my husband. So I'll talk, if I may, about the stepmom, whose name was Sarah, and the aunt, whose name was Peggy.
Please.
And I think what was important about them, oh, I thought of another person, if I may, I'd like to add one more person. And her name was Lillian. And I met her as an older person. So let me begin with Peggy and Sarah, because both women were very accepting of themselves, and they were very accepting of me. And if you think how old I am, and they were even older than me, they were kind of ahead of themselves when it came to women and women's rights and what women could do. And Peggy, who was my husband's aunt, was quite a remarkable woman. She was a dancer when she was young, a ballet dancer. Uh-huh. And when she got too old to dance, she opened a dancing school. And when she was unhappy with the people who took pictures of her students, she ended up going to the University of Iowa when she was 70 years old and became a photographer. And what I learned from her is if you have faith in yourself, you can become whoever you want to be. And there really weren't people telling me that. People were telling me, oh, you have to be a good wife, and you have to be a good mom. And those were important things. But no one said you could also be something else. Hmm. And the thing that I learned from her, and she told me, she kept reminding me, it's okay, you want to be a therapist, you can be a therapist. And not only can you be a therapist, you can be a good therapist. So she was important, and I didn't meet her until I was in my 30s. So it wasn't like she structured my early life. It was when I was older. Uh-huh. And the same was with my husband's stepmother, Sarah. And Sarah was an amazing woman. She grew up in Russia, in Siberia, and walked with her children through Siberia.
Wow.
Can you imagine? I mean, with little babies, and had the courage to become who she was. And what I learned from her was to be accepting of yourself and accepting of other people. And I remember once being at her house and her grandson called her up. Uh-huh. She lived in Florida and her grandson lived in New York. And he called and he said, oh, I'm at the airport and he was on a business trip.
Yeah.
And I'm on my way flying home. And she said, oh, I'm so glad I got to talk with you and have a good flight. And I thought, gosh, she didn't say, well, why didn't you come and see me? Or why didn't you call sooner? She made him feel good. And I thought, how I want to be. Even though I was 30, I decided that's how I want to be when I really grow up. She just influenced me in ways that weren't overt. Overt meaning she didn't say, do this, do that. But she influenced me, in covert ways by modeling after what she did. And so I always felt that in addition to my husband who gave me this gift of marrying me, I got those two women. And the third was a woman named Lillian. And Lillian was actually my husband's best friend's sister. And Lillian just didn't complain about things. Lillian died when she was 100. And she had a wait list of who wanted to attend her birthday party. Can you imagine? And Lillian, I used to meet her at a restaurant in Laguna Beach, and she used to drive there. And once I was having a bad day, and at 100, she called me and said, can I pick you up so you don't have to drive?
Wow.
And I thought, I want to be like Lillian. Because Lillian had the similar traits to the two people that I mentioned, the aunt and the stepmother, that she was accepting of other people. She didn't pick on other people. She didn't blame other people. I'm working hard to be like those three women. So that was a long answer to a short question.
Well, thank you. All right, next question. Of the people you've lost in your life, who do you miss the most? What is it about them that you miss?
Well, that's an easy question. I don't have to think a second about it. I even get teary when I give you the answer. I try to smile, but I get teary. Because the person was my husband. The man that was your grandfather, the guy that you referred to as Gumps. And actually, he got the name Gumps. He wanted, I think, to be called Gramps, but you didn't know how to pronounce Gramps, and so Gumps was what you called him, and that's who he became to everybody. Everybody knew him as Gumps, and even when he was in the hospital, and someone would say, oh, what's your name? And he'd say, well, my name is Richard, but you can call me Gumps. So he's the person that I miss the most, and I miss him because I admired him. I admired the kind of person he was. When I talk about those women who I role modeled after, my husband Dick was like them also. He was gentle and he was patient. And one of the things he'd always say to me is, you know, Pammy, just give people the benefit of the doubt. And I say that a lot because he, when someone did something that wasn't okay, before he went off and got furious and complained, he said, well, maybe they were doing it for a different reason. Or maybe, there was just this wonderful quality about him. And he was very honest, and honesty is very important to me. And oh my goodness, he had the best sense of humor. He made me laugh all the time. And another thing about him was he was very proud of his family. He was very proud of the things that they did. I mean, he was proud when you were a little boy and you took a step, he was proud. I mean, you didn't have to do something that by other person's definition was extraordinary. It was everything you did as children were extraordinary. And so he was sweet. He was good to my mother. He was good to my father. And he was just good to everybody. People in his office loved him. He listened to them and he was patient with them.
Did that impact you? And did that make you want to change as a person?
It made me want to follow his way of behaving. Where sometimes if I was a little more critical than I think, and especially now, you know, he died 10 years ago, and I'll think, what would he say? What would he do? Would he yell out? Not yell. I don't yell. But what would how he act? So yes, I think that the qualities in him were the things that made me marry him. And he was smart also, but he knew how to make fun of himself, and he was humble. And I thought, you know, he's how I want to be. So yes, he was a reminder to me of the way it is to live the life of a good person. And it didn't mean that he didn't make mistakes, and it didn't mean that he didn't get angry, but he always knew how to say he was sorry. He always knew how to say that. And when he said he was sorry, he didn't say, if I upset you, I'm sorry, because that isn't a sorry to me. Uh-huh. He would say, I am sorry I upset you. And I learned from him how I wanted to be. So yes, I learned a lot from him. As you can see, I get very emotional when I talk about him.
Well, that's good. All right, moving on. What are you proudest of, personally and professionally, in your life?
So that's really a two-part question. Personally is half of it. Professionally is the other half of it. So I'll begin with the personal part. I'm really very proud of my children and my grandchildren. I worked hard to be a good kind of a mom. I think every parent does. And even the best of us slip up and make big mistakes. Hopefully we make less mistakes. And when I look at my children, I have two daughters and a son, and each of them lead a very different life from the other. But all three of them are good people. Mm. All three of them are caring people. They're respectful people. Two of them have children, and they raise their children in a way that seems so right to me. They each married different people, but they respect that marriage. They respect that relationship. So that's what I'm proud of in my that part of my life. That I think that I did the best I knew how to do as a mom, and even I make plenty of mistakes today, and hopefully I recognize those errors, and not that I don't repeat them, but I certainly do try to apologize for them.
Right.
And as far as my work is concerned, I love the work I do. I'm a therapist, and I believe the job of a therapist is to help change the quality of the patient's life. And I don't have a plan for the patient. I don't have a plan for what they should do or they shouldn't do. But my goal, I think, is to let them do a lot of talking and eventually let them find the path that they want to take. And then it's my job to support them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I see people today that make me smile. I'll see someone in the grocery store, and there'll be a mom walking with two little kids. And I'll remember when they were a teenager getting into all kinds of trouble. And they were patients of mine.
Uh-huh.
And they'll walk by me and they'll give me the thumbs up, because they remember how complicated their lives used to be and how impossible their lives were. And then I see them as these mature people living good lives. So I love the work I do, and I'm very proud of how I've been able to contribute to changing the quality of someone's life.
So would you say that your proudest moment would be for each individual's life that you were able to make an impact?
Or I was able to help them make an impact. It's more about, you can be the best therapist in the world, but the patient doesn't work hard, they don't get to change life. But so yes, but it's more about that I kind of helped them to do what they wanted to do or be who they wanted to be. And I'm very proud of that. I'm very proud of that.
All right. Moving on. What are the most important lessons you learned from your husband?
Oh, goodness. He was a teacher. One of the things, my husband used to be Mr. Science for the public school system in Chicago. And I can tell you, I never learned anything from him when it came to science. I would ask him a question, and then he would tell me, but he wouldn't keep it short. He'd keep it long. And so eventually, I would fall asleep. So I didn't learn a lot about science. In fact, the worst part after he died was when I had a scientific question and needed to know something, he wasn't there to answer. And I thought, oh gosh, if only I would have listened a little more carefully. But what I did learn from him was, number one, to be a good listener. But at the end of the listening, he didn't give an opinion. And I was always a good listener, but I used to have opinions.
Right.
Whoa, I had a lot of opinions. And I learned that it's hard enough to know what you're supposed to do in your own life without figuring out what somebody else should have to do in their life. And so I watched how my husband was able to do that.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, oh, I want to be like that. He had a good sense of humor, and I had a good sense of humor, so we were able to laugh at ourselves. But I also learned from him that things didn't always have to be my way. Not that I didn't think my way was the best. But eventually, I realized that maybe there was another way.
Uh-huh.
You know, and maybe there was another way, and it was okay just to remain silent. And the other thing I learned, I forgot about this, I just remembered, if you asked my husband a question, he didn't instantaneously give you an answer. He waited, it seemed like an hour, but it was seconds before he gave the answer. And I realized that one of the things that he did is he thought before he spoke.
Uh-huh.
And that's hard.
Yeah.
Especially when you want to make sure that everybody knows what you're thinking. And I realized how important that was, that he didn't just blurt out answers and then have to apologize for them or rethink them. And not that he didn't rethink, but he thought before he spoke. And when I first met him, I thought it was a funny speech pattern, that you'd ask him something and then there'd be like this pause and you think, well, did he not hear what I said?
Right.
And then I realized he was thinking carefully before he spoke. And that was a wonderful, wonderful lesson for me.
You admired that?
Oh, absolutely, I admired it. And I try to copy it. I don't know if you noticed that I do it. Probably I don't do it enough. This little conversation we're having is reminding me that I need to do it more. But I admired him. He was very humble, and humility is something that is a quality that a lot of people don't have, that people feel they have to brag or tell everybody what they accomplished or what they did. And my husband accomplished a lot.
Uh-huh.
But he didn't talk about it. He tried to make other people feel good. And those are qualities that I think I had a lot of those qualities. But being married to him reminded me of the importance of it.
All right. Moving on. Do you feel like your job is your calling? Why or why not? If not, what do you believe is your calling?
Oh, for sure, I think it's my calling. Of that, I have no doubt about. When I was little, and I obviously told this story before, but when little kids would say, oh, I want to be a fireman, or I want to be a baseball player, or a nurse, or a mommy, I always said, I want to be a helper. I want to help people. And I said that my family used to make fun of it a little bit, or joke. They'd say, oh, ask Pam what she wants to be, and I'd be like 4 years old, and I'd say, I want to help people. And that was way before the days of psychologists and therapists. I grew up in a town in Michigan. No one ever went to a therapist or knew about it. I don't even know if there were therapists in the town that I lived in. So I didn't know that I wanted to be a therapist, but I knew that I wanted to help people. And so as I got older, I began to see that people struggled with things. And there was a way that they could get out of the struggle if only there was the helper.
Right.
And so once I realized, oh, maybe that's what I want to do. And I got married when I was young, and I dropped out of college. And always in the back of my mind, I wanted to be a helper. Mm. And I learned from my mother, which was interesting. My mother always was a volunteer.
Really?
Yeah. From when I was really young, she volunteered at the school. She taught some instrument that I think she had to take lessons to learn how to play it. And then she taught the kids that she worked... volunteered at a hospital. She volunteered at an orphanage. And so she was a helper. And I remember thinking, and nobody else's mom that I knew did those things.
Uh-huh.
And I remember thinking that was important. And then, so when I grew up, and after I was married and I had kids, I then went back to college to become a helper. And so I got my undergraduate and my graduate degree. And my first job was working with young men and young women who had been wards of the state. Their parents gave them up because they couldn't take care of them. And many of them had really bad families that they were put in as foster children. And I remember helping these young people to have a life that they deserved to have and didn't know it was available to them.
Uh-huh.
And so then for my whole career, I learned about helping people. So I did exactly the right kind of work for me. And then as an adult, after, you know, I practiced and I've been a therapist, yikes, goodness, almost 50 years, if you can imagine.
Uh-huh.
How long I've been a therapist. I do volunteer work. I volunteer with Global Volunteers, and I go to developing countries, and I work in Vietnam. I work with men and women who are blind, who are studying to be massage therapists. And I teach them conversational English. And I went to Romania, and I worked with Failure to Thrive babies in an orphanage.
Uh-huh.
And so I think calling, which is the word that you asked me,
yeah.
I think it was a profession just waiting for me to find.
And is that comforting to you?
It's a very nice word. It's very comforting to me. You asked me what I'm proud of. I'm very proud of the volunteer work that I do. I feel that it's easy to take a vacation and stay at a pretty hotel and get room service. It's a lot harder to stay in a house that doesn't have running water or toilets that flush. That's way, way harder.
Yeah.
And that's what I do. And I feel, yes, it's very rewarding to me. And I counted that I've done 85 volunteer trips.
Oh, wow.
Can you imagine? 85, some same countries. I worked in the fields in Cuba and in Ghana. I worked with men and women who had HIV. I realized that what I do has given me way more than what I do for others.
That's awesome. All right. Next question. What does religion and spirituality mean to you, and what role does it play in your life today?
I think religion, the foundation, I believe, of all religions is the same. People maybe pray to a different god or to a different idol, but the foundation of religion, whatever the faith is or the belief is about doing the right thing, about being good, about being kind, about giving, about being grateful. That's an important word, being grateful. I live in a very indulged life where I never have to worry if I'm going to have a meal, and I never have to worry that I'm not going to have a place to live. Mm-hmm. And I don't think about a bomb falling on my head. And so many of us take all of that for granted. And so in my religious belief, I don't take it for granted. I feel very grateful for the things that I have, grateful for the things that I can do. And I think the Ten Commandments serve as a good framework for me. Some things on the list are simple. I don't plan to kill anybody. So I don't have to think, better remember not to do that. But honoring friends, honoring neighbors, not being jealous of my neighbor just because my neighbor, I don't know, has a prettier house or a better car. It doesn't mean I might want a prettier house or I might want a prettier car, but I don't envy that. And uh-huh. That's the difference. I don't wish that they didn't have it and that I do. And so I think that my faith, I guess, is based a lot on gratitude.
Real quick, as you've grown older, do you think it has become easier or more challenging to follow these Ten Commandments?
That's a very simple question. The older I've gotten, the easier it's been. I have to say that when I was younger, I probably was jealous of people. I grew up pretty poor. My clothes came from Salvation Army or Goodwill. I didn't get all the clothes that all my friends had. I mean, I certainly didn't have, oh goodness, I never took a vacation. We went to a restaurant once a year, or sometimes twice a year. It was just once a year. So I grew up, and I did want what they had.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I didn't want them not to have it. But man, I didn't have a house like they had. I didn't have any of the things that they had. I didn't even have brothers or sisters. I was an only child, and everybody I knew had siblings. So I didn't even have that. And I lived in a town where people went fishing, and my parents didn't fish.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I just was way behind on the list, and my parents are much older. My parents are almost could have been my grandparents. And so there were a lot of things that other people had that I wanted. I didn't want them not to have it.
Right.
But I sure as heck wanted to have it. As I've gotten older, I wanted a college degree. That was a really tough one for me. When I got married and I had kids and my friends all had degrees and they had master's degrees and I hadn't even finished, you know, my second year of college because I dropped out.
Right.
And I had to work when I was in school. I mean, I had to work when I was in high school. And as I got older, I became more accepting.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a good question you asked, because I hadn't really thought about it. Some of the qualities that I brag about now that are so great that I think I have, they didn't come easy. I didn't magically, I always had a good sense of humor, but I didn't laugh at everything. Everything wasn't funny to me at the time.
Yeah.
And I did feel sorry for myself. But as I got older, I began seeing what was really important.
Uh-huh.
And the people with a house that was better than mine didn't mean that they had a happier life than me. You know, the people that had the car and I didn't have the car, they weren't necessarily happier.
Uh-huh.
They just had more in physical things than I did. So thanks for asking that. That made me think.
I think that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, thanks. I do too.
Alright, last question. How would you like to be remembered?
How would I like to be remembered? I'm thinking. I would hope that I would be remembered as being a kind, nice, caring person. I don't want to be remembered as being a volunteer. I mean, I don't mean I don't want to remember, but it doesn't make a difference if anybody remembers that I ever volunteered or that I have red curly hair. You know, those things. They're nice, but I really want my children to remember or think of me as, boy, she was a mom that tried to do the best she could for us. Or she was a mom that tried to listen to us. Uh-huh. And the reason I say tried is because I didn't always do it.
Right.
Lots of times I made big mistakes. But that's how I'd like to be remembered by my children and by my grandchildren. I might get teary. I want them to remember that, oh, she was like a cool Grammy. Uh-huh. Whatever a cool Grammy means. But, like, I could talk to her. That she might teach me something. She might bore me sometimes. But she still was a cool Grammy. And that she loved us. And I think when I think of my friends, I hope I'm remembered as someone who was supportive of them. My children, too, and my grandchildren, too. That I respected them and that they knew that. That it's more that the qualities I think of myself, I hope some of those qualities passed on to them, that they could remember my patience. I'll tell you a story. I volunteered in China, and it was on a holiday, and I was doing crazy things. It was Halloween, and I was teaching English, and I had a different class every hour, every day, and so I never saw the same students again, and so I had like a crazy hat and a funny bow tie and jumped around on a broom, and I taught them trick-or-treat, trick-or-treat, and the goal was to teach them English, but the real goal was to teach them that Americans were good people, and that someday when these young kids at 7 and 8 and 11 were running the government when they were 35 or 40, they would remember, oh, there was some crazy lady that came and taught us, and she was an American, and she was cool.
Right.
And so I guess that's how I want to be remembered, not as a crazy lady hopping around on a broom, but I want to be, I hope people will think of me as someone who really tried my best to be kind of what the other person needed. And I know I failed a lot at it, but overall, I hope I didn't. You know, overall, I hope that, yeah, I think that's how, we usually don't think about those things. I don't want to be remembered as a hero, and I don't want to be remembered as somebody who was always on a diet. I want to be remembered as, just someone who was loving, caring, and cool. I guess it, loving, caring, and cool, those would probably be.
That's very honorable.
I guess those are the qualities.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your time, Granny. And I hope you enjoyed.
Oh, I did. I did. Can I ask you a question? Did you learn things about me that you didn't know?
I feel like I learned that you admired the things that you've done and the people that have helped you, and you're appreciative of all the people that have helped you become the person you are today. And I'm glad that you are my grandmother.
Well, this was the best interview I've ever had. So thank you. Thank you for letting me do this with you. Thank you, my goodness, thank you very much.